Happy New Year to you all. It's time for the new you. So read the oversized postcard that I got in the mail from Carilion Wellness the other day. They must have noticed that my collar was feeling a little tight, but it said it's that time where you can join for an introductory price and start the new year by creating the new you. And this is this familiar time when we sort of make a check on last year and begin to make our plans for the coming year. And as part of this passage, rite of passage, we always end up making those annual New Year's resolutions. Things that we want to do better with or want to change in this coming year. And Americans love the process of New Year's resolution because it feeds into our sense of sort of control and pulling up ourselves by our bootstraps. And it also, deeply embedded in resolutions, is sort of a hope, too, that this year could be better. We're not going to make the same mistakes this year. This will be the year that we get that fresh start and chance. It sort of taps into the unbridled optimism that has long characterized America. So we love resolutions. What are your New Year's resolutions? Not everybody has to go first. No one has to go. But maybe it's less eating, more exercise. Maybe it's a 30-day workout plan that you can get for $9.99 at any Carilion Wellness, according to the postcard. Whatever your resolution is, whether it's a targeted sort of 2 miles a day every 3 days a week for the next 7 weeks, or something sort of more banal like, I'm just going to be better this year, the story always tends to end the same with our resolutions, doesn't it? Year after year. David Destenio, who's a professor of psychology at Northeastern and studies humans' habits, especially as it relates to resolutions and sort of their commitments. He wrote in the New York Times a few days ago, New Year's Day is day one on the road to the new you, we all think. But this road, as we all know, is difficult to follow. Humans, i.e. you and me, are notoriously bad at resisting temptations, especially, as my research confirms, when we get busy, tired, or stressed. In fact, by January 8th, tomorrow, 25% of all New Year's resolutions will have already fallen by the wayside. And by the time the year ends, fewer than 10% will have kept those resolutions. Commenting about our inability to keep our resolutions, the British comedian John Oliver issued a video over the internet, and he said, the main problem with New Year's resolutions is that we set our expectations way too high. For instance, a lot of people say they want to exercise more, but that's hard. Exercise is like reading for your muscles, except you can't watch a movie of someone else exercising and basically get the gist of it. So instead, he goes on, instead of jogging, try anything that raises your heart rate, like waking up late for work or taking a pregnancy test. On the flip side, Oliver says, you can go to the obviously unattainable goals, which make you feel better in some weird way, like winning an EGOC. Bonus points for anybody that instantly knew what that was. I didn't until I watched the video. An EGOC is when you win in 1 year an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and the Kentucky Derby. So Oliver goes on to say, deep down, we all know that the key to a successful resolution is not hard work or dedication. It's just managing our disappointments. And that's it. Yet we still clamor for the new you. We still clamor to change that thing that we've been trying to change for years. Maybe to have us stop feeling adrift in our lives, or for those places of hurt that we want resolution in, or maybe just for our own physical well-being. We still want to change those things this year. And so we go back to creating new resolutions. The other day I was talking to a friend about this year, and he's in a very difficult spot, and he has been so for a few years. And he just said, I just want this year to be different. I just want a fresh start this year. I want to find a place where I feel like I belong. I think that sense of belonging, that sense of just hope, is something that taps into all of our New Year's resolutions, whether it's a weight loss or no more binge TV, no more binge drinking, no more binging any eating, etc. We all want something to be slightly different this year. And that's why the idea of the new year starts with these hopes and these goals. And it's nothing new in our world. Over 4,000 years ago, the ancient Babylonians used to make resolutions for the new year right before the harvest. Julius Caesar himself instituted the idea of January 1st. January coming from the name Janus, which was the god that had two faces, one always looking forward and one always looking backwards. And so his idea on January 1st is that you should both look backwards at the previous year and then look forward to see the things you were going to change. Resolutions are not strictly secular either. In 1740, the English clergyman, at that time an Anglican, John Wesley, later the founder of Methodism, created the Covenant Renewal Service. It was commonly held on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, and it was designed as a way for your Christian commitment to begin for the year. What are you going to do this year in your commitment? Our service will be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I kid. One familiar theme this week when I was reading through different church newsletters and sort of holiday greetings was, even in today's culture, especially in today's culture, many churches were sending the same messages. It's the new year. What are you going to do for God? What is your resolution for your church? What are you going to do for yourself to grow closer to God? Maybe it was church attendance for you personally. If so, it's January 7th, and all of you are at 100% reaching of your New Year's resolutions. But inevitably, right, with all these resolutions, they all come back to us, don't they? They all come back to what are we going to do, or something that we need to do, or something that we need to participate in, something that we need to change. And this is why they all fail. We have many, sure, small wins and different resolutions. We can lose weight for a week at a time. And we have occasional successes in the big picture. But ultimately, we all know we need something that is not inside of us to actually save us. If we didn't know that, we wouldn't be here today. And this is why we go back to the beginning, this first Sunday in January. The beginning not of our lives, but the beginning of creation, and the story that Jay read for us. That Genesis story, the first five verses of Scripture that provide us with God's resolution. In the first verses of Scripture, God makes clear His resolution in the world. Hear the story again. When God begins to create heaven and earth, the text tells us. Meaning, when God looks at the cosmos, the Hebrew understanding of heaven is not simply a box up here in the world above the earth. It is multiple heavens. It is multiple layers. It is what we would call the galaxy. And so what the text is telling us, when God began to create everything. But first, we learned that there was nothing. we learn that it was dark and it was void. The Hebrew translation of void is even more bleak than our understanding, because it is without shape, without any form, and completely uninhabitable. There is nothingness. That's why they use the image of water, because there is no definition in it. It is just dark. If anybody's ever been 30,000 feet or seen those videos from 15,000 feet below the ocean surface, you know what this kind of void is. There's nothing. And so here was God looking at nothing. And then we have God's action, God's breath. The Spirit swept over the waters, over this nothingness, over the darkness. And as it swept over the darkness, God spoke. Then He saw, and then He called. And this is the rhythm of creation in the beginning of the plan of our salvation. Our salvation, our eternal life, our reconciliation with God is God's ultimate resolution. Look at God's actions in these first verses. He starts with God created. He created. He breathed life. He swept. His life, His breath came into the world and created the form of the world that we know. And then God said, "Let there be light." And then He saw the light, and He said it was good. And then God called the light day. God's actions telegraph to you and to me the arc of salvation in His resolution. A resolution that does not falter, nor even fall short, nor does it involve anything that we might do or not do. It's entirely God's work on our behalf. And it's the good news for all of us, for you and for me, because God saw a world hurting and in pain. And He saw His creation in trouble. And He said, as we hear through the prophet John, "There is one that will come that is more powerful than anyone. And this one that comes will call Himself the light of the world." Because this one is Jesus. And He was the flesh, the Word made flesh. And Jesus Christ is the one resolution of God's that is full of grace and truth, brought into the world for you, for me, so that we might know ultimately that God's resolution is one message to us. You are mine. You are my beloved child. And I love you. Amen.